Calling all Swifties and champions of change, Like a Girl Media is rolling out the red carpet for you with our Thrive Like a Girl contest. We're all about celebrating powerful women leaders who inspire us to dream big and push boundaries. And who embodies that spirit more than Taylor Swift herself? Here's your chance to see her live in concert. We're giving away 2 tickets to Taylor Swift's show in London on Saturday, June 22nd. Imagine being part of the magic, all thanks to Like a Girl Media. Entering is easy. Subscribe, share, and show us which episodes inspired you the most. Visit our website or check our social media for all the details. Don't just dream it, be it. Thrive like a girl and make this summer unforgettable. Contest opens globally, void where prohibited, must be 18 or older to enter, no purchase necessary. Subscribe and share with hashtag Thrive Like a Girl and tag us at likeagirl_media for entry. Unlimited entries means unlimited chances. Winner chosen at random after contest closes May 20th, 2024. Will be notified via DM. Make sure your profiles are not private. Check full rules on our site. This is your shot to see Taylor Swift live. Don't miss it. Hit Like a Girl podcast is a proud member of the Health Podcast Network. One thing I love about working with them is that they're mission-driven, which means that they're dedicated to featuring authoritative shows, hosts, and guests who take on the tough topics in healthcare with empathy, expertise, and a commitment to excellence. If you're looking for bingeable content related to the healthcare industry, they've got more than 8,000 episodes on demand waiting for you. From professional development, the patient voice, digital health, innovation and entrepreneurship, and of course, health IT, they've got you covered. So this is your official invitation to check them out at healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the Hit Like a Girl podcast. This is High Tea with Grace, where we spill the tea on HIT. I'm pleased to welcome my very esteemed guest, Janet DeLeon, CEO of Connect America. Janet, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Looking forward to the conversation.
So tell us, what do you do at Connect America? What are things that you are focused on over there?
Sure. Connect America, we have the challenge and the pleasure of trying to address the needs of the vulnerable populations in the country. So specifically vulnerable populations of aging and chronically ill. So we have a platform. Our goal is to try to help people who want to stay at home to live as long as they can, as independently as they can, and as graciously as they can while being in the home.
That's fantastic. So I've heard a little bit about what your company does. And so you do telehealth, remote patient monitoring, some personal emergency response systems. That's really fantastic. How do all of those really come together and play together to reach this vulnerable population?
Sure. So what we try to do, I mean, yeah, again, we see the person in the home. So we have 925,000 people on our platform. So we get 85,000 signals a month. So in that comes a lot of knowledge. We have call centers. We get tens of thousands of calls a month. So we have a sense of what's happening in that home. And people need a couple of things. Number one, they need safety and security. If something happens, can I get help? And that's the famous, you know, that's kind of the start of the PERS industry. It was really that emergency response of if someone needs help getting it there. And then there's an extraordinary amount of technology behind the scenes to make sure signals happen, to make sure call people respond by voice. It's very important. I hear you, Janet, do you need help? Yes. And to get that help dispatched. And again, there's enormous metrics around how quickly we do that, the response and everything else. But in addition to urgent care, the folks that are trying to stay at home need other things, right? They need to try to take care of their complex medication requirements. Medication adherence is a key topic. And again, with what we've recently done, the chronically ill. So how can we help people avoid the ER? How can we help people avoid the acute scenario? And that's through doing things like daily monitoring, physiologic monitoring, and supporting that remote patient that's now in the home. So that's
incredible and very important, especially given what we experienced for COVID. I mean, where everyone had to be home, no matter what. I mean, You know, did you find that this surge really impacted you from just a business standpoint, in addition to helping the vulnerable people that were stuck at home?
Absolutely. I mean, I joined Connect America about a year ago. And if you literally, you could see in our data, if you didn't know the company at all, and, you know, typically we have patients leave our service for reasons. They go into assisted living, they go to senior living. Unfortunately, some patients expire, right? They die. You could see in the data starting in March of 2019, one of the patient, you know, reasons for patient leaving stopped. And wow, it was assisted living. It's extraordinary. You can see it in the line. So we did. We had a tremendous uptick in services. We had, you know, a more vulnerable population, if you will, staying at home, right? People that would have typically transitioned. We saw it in the number of calls. We had more calls. And again, you can read it in the call logs. People simply reaching out to talk to someone.
Wow.
Because the social isolation curves went up. And people will call and literally say, "Can I speak to Grace?" So they begin to know the person on the other end of the phone. They call weekly. But we definitely saw the data. We actually think that we know why people call. And again, we started to notice in 2019, people fall, people have respiration, they're bleeding. You could see the calls around respiratory illness, the curve was going up. So you could almost see COVID happening in our customer base.
That's incredible. And that one-on-one connection, how powerful is that to really be changing the lives of these people and helping them live more full lives from home instead of in an assisted living facility?
Yeah. It was one of the things I did when I got to the company to try to learn what we do. I said, you know, when people help, I said, let me see the call logs. And I just started reading the phone calls. It's extraordinary. And they, you know, I think, you know, why does any of us do it? Because every one of us has a personal story. Right. Mm. Everybody knows somebody. It's a great way to apply IT.
Tell us a little bit about your personal story. I would love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one of those was pre-med, thought I was going to do that, and then got distracted by, quote unquote computer project, as we called it back in those days. And I just found it like endlessly fascinating. This thing, IT, how could you apply it to healthcare? I've stayed in healthcare because IT is great. I love that left-brained part of it. But what I really liked was using IT to try to solve healthcare problems. And that's remains energizing to me. It's what I like. And, you know, came up through the EMR and the providers and the High Tech Act and trying to get systems that helped doctors and nurses and live through those, you know, trying to get those adopted. And then I was fortunate with Nuance, got to deal with speech and speech recognition, machine learning, and natural language processing. You know, saw that early evolution, and then did some things around real-time analytics. Very, very critically ill patients, trying to see respiratory depression, people that were deteriorating. That was great. And then wanted to kind of get into the, I was actually saying post-acute, or pre-hospital, and had an opportunity with Connect America. And again, it's just, again, same issues with healthcare. Healthcare is a great area because there's always things to do and things to solve. And seeing this pre-hospital market and the needs has just been, it's been great. I'm having a ball and enjoying it.
So. That's fantastic. And what kinds of advancements have been made in tech now in this new area? I know it's been advanced because of COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of tech advancements are new and exciting and things we should be looking out for?
Well, I think there's a couple different, you know, things to think about. And again, you know, as a product manager way back in my early days. So again, you always think about your target user, right? So There's a lot of shiny tech, a lot of shiny objects out there. But the first thing you have to remember, who is your typical and your target user? And our target user tends to be someone over 70, right? Someone who is looking to stay home. So there, the first product requirement we have is it has to work every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you start. That's where your design starts. So there's a lot of sex and sizzle we have, but it has to work every time. And that means we have to anticipate there may not be Wi-Fi.
Oh, yes.
That's the reality. So once you start to go through that, that informs your product design. But I think that, you know, the things that have helped in the things around the emergency, specifically the emergency devices, have been able to get smaller and lighter because of technology, and then battery life. You know, trying to remind people to plug things in or charge things is a problem regardless of age. Well, our target population is even more. So now you're starting to see battery lives of 5 to 7 to 10 days. You're able to put a lot more intelligence in there. So we can, you know, not only track falling, we can track activity. And I don't know if people realize, but the fact that someone fell is interesting. Mm-hmm. The fact that someone started to trend and started to fall more is highly indicative of deterioration and a health issue.
So that is so true. And yeah. Before you couldn't even track that, you know, it's like if they had a bad enough fall, they broke their leg, they'd go. But, you know, really being able to track this regular deterioration can be very useful for managing.
Sure. We can inform caregivers. So we know who the care circle mm-hmm. is. 40% of our customers come to us through a family member.
Wow.
Who wants to know that there's someone helping and available to help their family member if they need need. And the other important thing is, you know, if asked, we can send this information to the care providers, not only family members, but also physicians. It would be helpful if someone's primary care physician knew that Janet kept falling or had fallen 3 times in the last week when had never fallen before. You know, mm-hmm. those are the kinds of things. And again, the goal here is to help people stay at home. Mm-hmm. Avoid the ER, avoid the acute event. So there's magic in the data.
Absolutely. And working with the senior populations, have you found it to be a challenge in adopting new technologies, or do you find that they're up for the challenge and that they do it pretty quickly and pretty easily?
Absolutely up for the challenge. You know, again, you have to be aware of the user audience. We actually have a group of people we send things to, we ask them to test.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. You know, well, you know, you get in, again, vision is a big issue. So you have to be aware of that with the user interface, tactile capabilities change, cleanliness of a user interface, that which is fascinating to us at certain points become just distracting and irritating at different points in life. The user feedback helps inform, but they're not afraid. They're happy with technology. They don't want the Orwellian oversight. I don't want surveillance. I don't want to be in a police state. I don't mm-hmm. want unknown anonymous eyes watching me.
Yeah, that's true. There really is this line, and it's this Orwellian, you know, Orwellian state. And then there is being monitored in a way that keeps everybody aware of how well you're doing.
Yep.
To protect, you know, and your dignity of life and being able to, you know, live at home. And so, you know, what is that boundary, I guess? And that, and do you find that these groups of people can help you inform what that boundary is? Or
absolutely. Mm-hmm. We do. We use them. We take that. We take technology. Sometimes we take a product to them. Would you use this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Right. Or yes. And we absolutely ask a lot about sensor technologies, ambient technologies, cameras, radar. I mean, there's so many things you can do in a home now that are so different. And we do, we go ask people, is it, and you know, sometimes it's surprising, you know, sometimes like, yeah, I would do that because that would be helpful. Mm-hmm. But again, there is definitely a sense of, you know, who sees that? Who would see that, you know?
That is so empowering to the patients that you serve to mm-hmm. to really think about how it can best be used to help their lives and that they feel comfortable using it. Because yeah, you could force any tech you wanted. I mean, if you want to stay at home, you got to use this. But instead, you're saying, no, we are partnering with these patients because we want to make sure it's serving their life and making, you know, it's something they're comfortable using.
Yes. And again, we also get feedback from family members because they'll tell us, I cannot believe that, you know, so-and-so told you that because they would never tell me that.
So wow.
There's also this comfort of, okay, I've gotten used to this person who talks to me on the phone and they will be more open mm-hmm. and say, well, yeah, actually I do need help with something. Can you help do ABC? Yeah. And they're in the family. So we'll, you know, reach out to the family member and say, okay, they would never have told me that.
Wow. Yes. That's amazing to develop. Yeah. It's like a partnership between you and the patient. It's amazing.
Yeah. My head of marketing says it great. She says that she's never had a job before where she doesn't have to reach out and go grab customer testimonials or references. Mm. Because we get cards and letters and video and families call. It's just, it's a very rewarding place to try to do technology. So it's great.
Absolutely. So what are some of your key strategies for staying on top of this, you know, innovation and being a pioneer in this particular set of the industry? You know, what are some of the strategies that you go towards to just stay on top of all of these things?
Well, again, I think any of us that try to do IT for a career, there has to be a part of you that's like endlessly curious. You know, you're just constantly going to go find out, you know, and go look for other things. I think that you have to, you have to be continuously paranoid, right? And always look and see what else is happening in the industry. And you have to be open. I mean, people are very gracious, you know, mostly, you know, when you reach out and just reach out to other people in the industry and, you know, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking? What are you seeing? Obviously we tap into academia, who tends to be, you know, I've got a chief informatics officer. We've all got contacts that we all use over the years. You try to keep in academia is a great way to stay really, you know, ahead of the curve. And then as any leader knows, and then you have to hire well, right? Mm-hmm. So surround yourself with smart, highly motivated people. You know, so it's not one thing. I don't think it's just a series of things to do.
Yeah. I think that list is really impactful and will be really helpful for our audience to hear. It's true. You have to be curious and surround yourself with the best people possible. Truly.
Absolutely. Hire smarter than you. Absolutely. They make your job easier.
That's terrific. So I know you're a busy career woman and you're running this amazing company, but you also spend a lot of time mentoring women in the industry. And a little birdie told me that. I'd love to hear a little bit more about this mentorship and what it looks like and helping shape this next generation of women leaders and men leaders in health IT.
Yeah, great. I mean, I'm a big believer in pay it forward. None of us has gone or achieved anything on our own, right? We all stood on the shoulders of others. We all were supported by others. We all were given opportunities by others. So I'm a big believer, you know, pay it back. And I try to share that. So, you know, I think that there's a, you know, I'd love to have other people get there easier, faster. So I try to give some insight into things, but I find it very rewarding. And again, I do desperately care about healthcare. I mean, it's something all of us need at some point in time. And I always have said for years, right? We are morally compelled to leave it better than we found it. And part of the way to do that is to make sure that we have really talented, smart people that want to engage in this. I mean, it's an endlessly rewarding area to focus a career. So I just want great people. So and if I can help support that and do that, I'm more than happy to do that.
So that's terrific. So what makes you tick as a leader, as a person and a human? You know, what really drives you as a person?
Mm-hmm. I use the phrase a lot, but I am endlessly curious. I just, I just think there's so many, there's a lot of fascinating things. So there's a part of me that I love to solve problems. I love to fix things. I like to drive order out of chaos. So that kind of drives me. I very much enjoy a team. I love doing things, you know, with others. I like identifying the mountain. We're going here and we're going to go together and we're going to get there and we're going to celebrate that team success. So I grew up playing team sports and I think I've approached my career as a team sport. And I think that I get a lot of joy out of it. So probably, and obviously there's a part of me that's competitive. So I enjoy that.
Yes, that's awesome.
You want to see your customers do well. You want to see your products do well. You want to see your shareholders do well. And, you know, that's just energizing.
Yeah. And what are some things that you do too on a daily basis to just work your best and make a difference? Do you find that there are certain habits that you have that can help you stay healthy, stay strong?
I do. I love, I do. I work out. I'm an avowed believer in exercise. I have a trainer that I visit once a week. I was there yesterday. She's British. So it sounds like working out with Mary Poppins. a little bit more. So I do believe, I mean, I think that, you know, your health has a lot to do and I think it keeps us, you know, energized and keeps everybody active. And then I think that again, you know, healthy, you know, we're in healthcare, you know, live healthy and, I am a big believer in exercise and staying active and to be prepared. I hate to have to say this, but it is like a sport. It is like exercise. The more you do it, the better you are. So you have to, you know, there's no secret that it takes work and preparation. So in terms of folks, you know, how you approach your career and challenges, I think the best thing to say is be prepared. Mm. Simply be the best prepared of those in the room. Do the homework. Be ready. You have, you know, and I think when you're prepared, you're less anxious. You know, you're do the work.
Really good advice. Really great advice for our audience. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I have another question, you know, kind of diving back into the tech for the underserved populations and the senior populations. From a visionary perspective, you know, what do you predict for the future? I'd love to kind of hear a little bit about, are we going to be able to live our life at home versus nursing, you know, homes? How is tech going to play a role? Is it going to start earlier in our lives? What do you see happening in this tech moving forward?
I think that clearly the world, as every generation is progressing and gets more and more comfortable with constant technology, right? I mean, how many people today will have a watch on or some other thing that's monitoring? So I think that just naturally going to happen. So I think that, you know, COVID accelerated something that was already happening, which was the migration of healthcare from bricks and mortars and buildings and things out of those big buildings and, you know, eventually into the home. That's not going to change. You know, the scale of the market is driving innovation in. And with that comes some good things like the prices are dropping and will continue to drop. So
true. That is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people will. So there will be, you know, more and more consumer friendly, adoptable technologies to allow for physiologic monitoring, you know, whether it's body worn, which it could be, it could be sensors or it could be something else. People will prefer something less tethered. And to be a little bit less frequent. So I think that the you know, the curve of technology will continue to make things more comfortable, lighter. Battery life is a huge deal in these kind of constant technologies. So I think that that will continue. That, you know, there's a lot of breakthrough and room still to grow there. But it's just naturally going to, it is happening. It's going to continue to happen. It will accelerate. And the really smart engineers out there are going to continue to dazzle us.
Yeah.
You know, with what they can do.
So what do you think physicians feel about all of this? Do you think that it helps them? Do you think at first it's going to be a learning curve or a growth curve on how to use it best? You know, what do you feel like the impact is on them?
I think you're asking a great question, because the other thing that has evolved along with the technology are the care models, right? I mean, they're, you know, the nurses and doctors that I work with, right? That there's a lot of innovation happening around the care model. It's not as simple to say, well, I'm not going to be in the hospital, so we're going to dispatch those nurses into the home. Well, guess what? There is a universal shortage of clinical people.
Yeah.
In COVID, we're going to continue to see it. So the care models are evolving, and there's going to be a lot of innovation in that realm as well, along with the technology. And I don't think we've answered the question yet. I mean, it is not as simple as send an endless series of signals to the primary care physician.
That's just not true. It's too overwhelming. It's like there's no way they can keep track of that.
It's overwhelming. It's impractical. You know, it's just not valuable. So we're figuring out ourselves with remote patient monitoring. What is the right way? What is the right signal? Mm-hmm. You know, an adoption of AI. Okay, what's in that black box? If I don't understand it, is a physician going to adopt it? So I could argue, you know, you could, you know, smart people, that the care model itself probably, you know, is going to have to shift and change before all this tech can really be adopted and embraced en masse. But again, there's a lot of companies trying to get the breakthrough on that as well. So, but it's a great question.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, is there anything else you'd like our audience to know or to come away from this conversation with?
Well, I think as with anything, I mean, HIT, for those that are embracing it as a career, love it, right? Love whatever you do. I mean, if you enjoy it, and I don't know that there's a better way, because you get a little bit of left brain, right? So you get all that kind of those neurons. But there's so many things that you have to kind of adapt and create and problem solve. It gets the right brain engaged. I just think it's the perfect combination. I think it's I think it's a great way to take your talents and deploy them in the market. So
that's terrific. Well, I so enjoyed our conversation, Janet. Thank you for joining me. How can our listeners find you online?
I'm on LinkedIn, so feel free to ping me if I can be of any help. And you know, let's all go. Again, there's a lot to do in healthcare. There's a lot of great value that the folks listening to this podcast can deliver to healthcare. And again, you can feel really good about it because at the end of that is a patient. And I always tell people to potentially figure that could be a family member. You can't help but get energized.
The business of healthcare is truly personal.
It is 100%. 100%. Mm.
That's terrific. Well, before I forget, did you happen to bring any tea with you today?
I did. I have a cup of tea.
Oh, wow. Yep. Stowe, Vermont. Is that?
Well, I'm going to have to admit, years ago when my husband and I got married, we were combining things in the home. My husband loves coffee. And so he had this amazing assortment of mugs. And I saw this one and I've had it ever since.
Well, Stowe, Vermont is one of the most beautiful places in the world and the best place to ski. So it's a good mug to have.
It's the perfect size. It's not too big, not too small. It's very good. It's my favorite. It's been with me for a very long time.
And what do you fill your cup of tea with?
This is Irish breakfast blend.
Irish breakfast.
Dark tea. I like a healthy big tea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming today. And thank you. I really appreciated having you on, learning about your passion for these senior populations, keeping them aging at home gracefully and happily. It's really amazing what you're doing. And thank you so much for what you're doing for,
well, thank you. I appreciate
grandparents and all of us who are going to be future grandparents one day too.
There you go. I appreciate your enthusiasm for the topic and thank you for what you're doing. Bringing the message out to many more people than I could ever touch. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's all she wrote, folks. Thanks so much for joining us for Hit Like a Girl podcast. Check us out on our website and Twitter feed and also on our YouTube page. Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Like a Girl Media is more than a media network. It's a community. We want to meet you and amplify your voice and the voices of outstanding women innovating in healthcare. Interested in starting your own podcast or hosting an event near you? Connect with us online or in person. We're here to support and empower you.
This episode is brought to you by Chirpy Bird, Inc. CMS's Merit-Based Incentive Payment System, or MIPS, is super complex. And if clinicians ignore the program or perform poorly in it, it can result in a hit to their revenue and reputation. Chirpy Bird is proud to say that more than 95% of its clients are exceptional performers in MIPS, meaning they've maximized the score that directly translates into their Medicare reimbursement rate. Chirpy Bird offers their audit-proof services to practices of all sizes through an affordable monthly subscription that includes unlimited access to a regulatory expert who guides them in knowing what data to track, how to create workflows that make capturing that data easier, and ensures that they submit it all to CMS on time and performing at its best. Contact Chirpy Bird today or learn more at chirpybirdinc.com. That's chirpybirdinc.com.